Welcome to a very special edition of EncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. EncLive On Air is a podcast from EncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, EncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Vivek Sabaya, MD, Associate Professor in the Investigational Cancer Therapeutics Department and Center Clinical Medical Director of the Clinical Center for Targeted Therapy of the Cancer Medicine Division at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center to discuss the FDA approval of pembrolizumab in tumor mutational burden high solid tumors. On June 16, 2020, the FDA approved pembrolizumab for the treatment of adult and pediatric patients with unresectable or metastatic solid tumors that are TMB high, defined as 10 or more mutations per megabase, and have progressed following prior therapy and who have no satisfactory alternative treatment options. The FDA also approved the Foundation 1 CDX assay developed by Foundation Medicine as a companion diagnostic for pembrolizumab. The approval is based in part on data from a prospectively planned retrospective analysis of 10 cohorts of patients with previously treated unresectable or metastatic TMB-high solid tumors who were enrolled on the Phase 2 KEYNOTE-158 trial. In this trial, a link was established between TMB-high status and improved overall response rate with the PD-1 inhibitor in patients with various solid tumors. The multicenter, multi-cohort, non-randomized open-label trial enrolled patients with anal, biliary, cervical, endometrial, salivary, thyroid, or vulvar carcinoma, mesothelioma, a neuroendocrine tumor, or small cell lung cancer. Among 102 patients who had tumors that were classified as TMB high, the objective response rate with pembrolizumab was 29%. The median duration of response had not been reached. 57% of patients experienced response durations of 12 months or greater, and 50% of patients had response durations of 24 months or greater. In the TMB-high group, the 12-month progression-free survival and overall survival rates were 24.3% and 48% respectively. With regard to safety, the most commonly reported adverse effects included fatigue, musculoskeletal pain, decreased appetite, pruritus, diarrhea, nausea, rash, pyrexia, cough, dyspnea, constipation, pain, and abdominal pain. The agent is also associated with immune-related AEs, such as pneumonitis, colitis, hepatitis, endocrinopathies, nephritis, and adverse skin reactions. Although some have welcomed the approval to the armamentarium, others have questioned the merits of the approval. In response, Sabaya and colleagues published an editorial in the Annals of Oncology explaining the basis for the approval. In our exclusive interview, Sabaya shared the transformative importance of the FDA approval of pembrolizumab in TMB-high solid tumors.
Before we get into kind of the pros and cons of whether the approval was warranted, let's talk about the data upon which it was based, which was KEYNOTE-158. So what did the results show?
Thank you so much for allowing me to discuss on this very important topic. This approval was based on efficacy data from 10 refractory solid tumor cohorts enrolled in a multicenter, non-randomized, open-label trial, the KEYNOTE-158. Again, in this study, altogether, 102 patients that comprised 13% of the trial had a TMB high. What is TMB high? TMB high is defined as greater than or equal to 10 mutations per megabase. And among these patients, the objective response rate was 29%. Overall, about half the responses were of greater than 2 years, with many ongoing, a durability of response, which we have rarely observed in heavily pretreated metastatic cancers with treatment modalities other than immunotherapy. The most important part of this approval is that it is a tumor agnostic approval. And this is an approval in both adult and pediatric patients, which provides access to immunotherapy for these patients.
So where do you stand? Did the single arm trial show sufficient evidence in favor of the approval, do you think?
As it was based on a relatively single arm small study, the tumor agnostic nature of the pembrolizumab approval has generated considerable debate within the oncology community. In my personal opinion, based on my firsthand experience with immune checkpoint inhibitors in patients with tumor mutation burden high tumors. A subset of patients who have gone from a refractory end-stage state to durable complete remission lasting years, and of course, from a review of available literature, I strongly support the tumor-agnostic FDA approval of pembrolizumab for TMB high patients. I believe that the approval will facilitate access to a therapy that can result in significant benefit for patients with no effective alternative treatment options. This approval will especially impact the underserved and minority populations who are less likely to have access to tumor molecular profiling and off-label therapies, including young pediatric cancer patients, adolescents and young adults, when these cancers strike them in the prime of their lives, and adult patients with rare cancer types, which are individually rare, but constitute almost one quarter of the cancer burden. And again, as you know, this is far from the first FDA approval of pembrolizumab, rather an expansion of a label of a drug that has already known and authorized for many, many indications and whose safety profile is widely known. As of June 29th, 2020, pembrolizumab has been FDA approved for greater than 15 indications and greater than 20 specific labels. And as with all biologic and targeted cancer therapies, of course, not all patients treated with pembrolizumab, even in the tumor types, over 15 tumor types that are approved, achieve a durable response. And biomarkers will be critical to optimize the use of this agent by allowing clinicians to identify those patients most likely to benefit. Previously, as we know, only PD-L1 expression and microsatellite instability high deficient mismatch repair were recognized by FDA as predictive biomarker of immunotherapy response. The association of TMB high and response to anti-PD-1, anti-PD-L1 therapy arose not just from this small study, but arose from a multitude of retrospective analyses from multiple studies. For example, a recent meta-analysis of 117 clinical trials, which comprised of more than 12,450 patients treated with immunotherapy, revealed that tumor mutation burden high, including patients with a tumor mutation burden with cutoff of greater than 10 mutations per megabase, was significantly associated with enhanced objective response rate for anti-PD-L1 therapy, anti-CTLA-4 therapy, and the combination of anti-PD-1, PD-L1, and CTLA-4 therapy. Furthermore, MSI high appears to be associated with immunotherapy response, largely because it results in high TMB. Further, patients with TMB high without MSI high respond, as well as MSI high patients to immunotherapy. Thus, there is an extremely strong biologic rationale for TMB high as a biomarker for immunotherapy sensitivity.
So, backing up a little bit, might the conversation be different if the drug in question wasn't as well studied as pembrolizumab is?
So, yes, I think that at that time, the conversation would be different in terms of the number of patients that are needed for such an approval. And it also would depend upon the rarity of the biomarker. As with many of the tumor agnostic approvals, the magnitude of response would also be taken into account. As we know, we have currently NTRK inhibitors approved for tumor agnostic fashion. And, you know, we have pembrolizumab, of course, was the first tumor agnostic approval for MSI high mutant cancers. Again, the magnitude of response was high. And, you know, based on those, I would say the magnitude of response or the number of patients for an approval such as this would have required a more number of patients for such an approval. Again, one thing that we know is, you know, the challenge is always the optimal cutoff for defining a biomarker, especially a high TMB. This high TMB varies among cancer types. And, you know, the TMB greater than 10 threshold arose from a consensus recommendation from the TMB Harmonization Consortium. As we all know, the TMB Harmonization Consortium is a multi-stakeholder consortium and a panel derived from academia, pharma, nonprofit, cancer society representatives, and many commercial sequencing companies and nonprofit patient advocate groups, with the recognition that it may not be optimal for all clinical scenarios. Again, as with anything in oncology, understanding other biological variables that affect immune activation, including host factors, are may be needed for further honing this biomarker.
In terms of looking at the pros of the approval, how do you see it impacting molecular profiling? What are the potential upsides in that regard?
The current FDA has approved, the approval is pembrolizumab for patients with greater than 10 or equal to 10 TMB who have progressed following prior treatment and who have no satisfactory alternative treatment options. We believe that lack of access to molecular profiling technology and off-label use of targeted immunotherapy is becoming an important contributor to healthcare disparities. I'm thus hopeful that FDA approval of pembrolizumab with TMB high will help reduce such disparities by expanding the reimbursement for tumor molecular profiling and by facilitating access to widely used therapy that can induce durable responses in this molecularly defined population. For instance, if you're going to ask for a young pediatric patient for a TMB high, of course, when we order an NGS, we won't get the TMB high alone. And the patient may not have a TMB high, but the patient may come back with an NTRK fusion, which is targetable. The patient may come back with a RET fusion, which is targetable, or a BRAF V600E alteration, which are targetable. Although, you know, people define that as genetic lotteries, again, for that particular NF1 patient, for that family, these are transformative, right? Previously, access to these therapies and sequencing profiles were possible only for patients who got referred to a major cancer center, right? And with the advent of commercial sequencing companies, you know, we have so many community oncologists also ordering NGS testing. The challenge is access to these NGS profiling, reimbursement of this NGS profiling, which has always been a challenge, and access to these targeted therapies. Again, what are the options, right? So if we get a patient tested, the more we test, the more we find these alterations, right? And more we see that the more we test, the more we find. If we don't look for these alterations, we won't know if this patient might be suitable or be eligible for this option. So what are the current options for a patient if the patient is not eligible for a study, if the patient has a high TMB? The patient has to travel long distances to a major cancer center. And again, if the patient is not eligible for a trial, the patient and the doctor has to request for off-label use. And these are only rarely successful and can cause significant delays in treatment. And these logistical considerations and hurdles create disparities that most significantly impact those cancer patients of lower socioeconomic status and with a disproportionate impact on minority population. The expanded FDA indication for pembrolizumab by permitting broader access to profiling, broader access to the drug, helps to level the field for patients from all walks of life. And as we know, cancer is a genetic disease. Tumor genomic profiling is increasingly recognized as critical to ensuring the correct diagnosis of an individual patient's tumor. Genomics is the diagnosis. Every patient with cancer deserves an accurate diagnosis, including knowing whether their tumor harbors therapeutically actionable alterations or a mutational signature such as MSI high or TMB. The successes of immunotherapy are grounded in the marriage between genomics and immunology. Since there is no way to know a priori whether a tumor harbors TMB high or not, whether a tumor harbors NTRK high or not, whether a tumor harbors that ALK fusion, ROS1 fusion, or a BRAF V600D alteration, an indirect or direct advantage of this approval is that more cancer patients will receive genomic testing and hence an accurate cancer diagnosis.
There's this idea that the FDA is the arbiter of what's best, which we know is not the case. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Again, one concern, of course, that has been brought by the FDA approval of pembrolizumab, it will prevent patients from receiving other potentially better options. It is important here to emphasize that the FDA does not dictate standard of care. It provides patients with options. The FDA has approved pembrolizumab for patients with a TMB of greater than 10 who have progressed, quote, who have progressed following prior treatment and who have no satisfactory alternative treatment options. So the discussion is between the doctor, the patient, and their family, if the patient is a pediatric patient. Clearly, If there are better treatment options for patients with metastatic malignancies who have progressed on fourth or fifth line therapy, of course the oncologists that judicially elect to use those options. And again, as I said, lack of access to molecular profiling and off-label use has becoming an important contributor of disparities. And this approval and this expanded indication permits broader access to drug and molecular present, and this could be a level playing field for patients from all walks of life. In summary, the FDA approval of TMB for Pembro has transformative importance for, again, five reasons. Again, there are, of course, multiple reasons, but I can think on the top of my mind, five reasons. Number one, the magnitude and durability of responses mean that the approval will be life-saving for a subset of patients with lethal cancers. Number two, drug access and reimbursement will be enhanced for patients with pediatric and rare adult solid tumors, which is an enormous unmet need. Number three, physicians and patients and their families and their caregivers will be empowered to make decisions in the real world. Number four, immunotherapy access will be improved for underserved minority and economically disadvantaged population who may not otherwise have access to this therapy. Last but not the least, the approval will encourage adoption of modern essential diagnostic genomic tests. For these reasons, I believe that FDA approval of pembrolizumab is based on compelling scientific rationale and compelling clinical data, and that it will provide a refractory cancer patients who, without this treatment, would undoubtedly die of their cancer, a therapeutic option that can confer long-term durable remissions and, of course, the gift of time.
I think we covered it wonderfully, but is there anything else that you would like to emphasize for people who are still on the fence about the approval?
Again, there is no perfect biomarker. There is no imperfect biomarker in oncology. Again, we know that PD-L1, MSI-high are biomarkers, and now we have TMB as another biomarker as a response to immunotherapy. It is likely that consideration of additional factors such as HLA will enable the refinement of the predictive value of TMB. As with any complex biological process, anti-tumor immunity is associated with multiple biomarkers, and several are likely needed to increase the sensitivity and specificity of these predictive models over time. Again, in oncology, nowhere it is clearer than in the field of breast medical oncology, where the successive discovery and implementation of ER, estrogen receptor, PR, progesterone receptor, HER2-neu, BRCA1 and 2, over time has refined clinical treatment paradigms. Furthermore, as we have repeatedly seen in continuous variables, such as the Oncotype DX risk score, PD-L1 stain levels, TMB and TMB recently are honed as our knowledge deepens. It is important, therefore, to not let the immediate pursuit of perfection prevent progress. Undoubtedly, this approval will fuel further research and controversy, and this will enhance our predictive capabilities. However, based on already what we know about the immunotherapy benefit for TMB greater than or equal to 10 tumors, these deliberations and debates will likely take many, many years, especially if the intent is to design prospective studies to determine the TMB threshold for each and every cancer type. As such, the prospective studies are not likely feasible for many, many rare cancers. And it is, in my opinion, that the completion of such studies should not be used as a pretext to restrict access to a life-saving drug. That is why, based on personal first-hand experience with these immune checkpoint inhibitors, and based on available literature, based on this meta-analysis of patients, of 12,000 patients, and the FDA label, I believe and strongly support the tumor-agnostic FDA approval for pembrolizumab for TMB-high patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OnkLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OnkLive and OnkLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OnkLive and OnkLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OnkLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OnkLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OnkLive On Air.